My name is John Walden. I want you to join me in a Bible study from a book which is not very well known, not too often read, passed over, I think, probably because it is such a brief treatise, such a short book, the little book of Jude. Jude comes just before the book of the Revelation. In fact, it has been called a preface to the book of the Revelation. It's a unique book. It's a book in which there are at least 20 words not found anywhere else in the New Testament. It's a book in which there are many, many references to Old Testament passages and even to apocryphal literature, that is, literature which is not part of our Bible, but which the Spirit of God saw fit to have Jude quote here, that we might have the information. The pattern of this book is interesting. It's just filled with triplets. That is, there are many, at least 12, occasions where he uses three words together. He tells us about three classes of people, or he tells us about three men who were notorious sinners. Three times he uses the word beloved in describing Christians, and so on. We'll notice these as we go ahead in our studies. Let's notice, first of all, the opening of this book, the man himself, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James. Now, there are various theories as to whom who this man was, Jude. Some say that he was the brother of James the Apostle, or even the Apostle Jude. This isn't likely. Had he been an apostle, he certainly would have said so. He is very likely the same Jude, or Judas, mentioned in Matthew 13 and in Mark 3, and as such was called the brother of our Lord. This is what we read about him in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. The Jewish leaders were astonished, and they said in verse 2, "From whence hath this man, Jesus, these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. So we have James and Jude both mentioned here, as also in the 13th of Matthew. Now there are some, of course, who object to saying that our Lord had any brothers, that is, that Mary had any children. We have nothing in Scripture to say, to give us any reason why she and Joseph should not have had children following the birth of the Lord Jesus. All we know is that the Lord Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He was born without a human father. He came into this world miraculously as God manifest in the flesh. He came into this world taking human nature, but not sinful nature. He never ceased to be God when he became man. Some have thought if Jude was actually the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, then he would certainly have said so. But if you're a believer, you know better than this. You know that his attitude toward the Lord Jesus should be just exactly what it was. He calls himself the slave, the bond slave. That's the word servant here. The bond slave of Jesus Christ. And brother of James. James was probably better well known. Likely he is the one who gave us, or by the Holy Spirit, gave us the epistle that bears his name, the book of James. He was a godly man. It was said that he prayed so much that his knees were like the knees of a camel. Jude is a humble man, then, who identifies himself in a very simple way and speaks of himself as being the bond slave of Jesus Christ. I might say that every New Testament writer of the epistles says exactly the same thing. Paul and Peter, John, James, Jude, they all say the same thing. They all call themselves the slave of Jesus Christ. Now, how does it happen that these men considered themselves slaves of Jesus Christ? They were redeemed. They were set free. That's one of the meanings of the word redeemed. The Lord Jesus had bought them with his own precious blood and set them free. They were no longer the slaves of sin and of Satan. If they were free, how do they happen to be called slaves? Why do they wish to call themselves slaves? Well, the only answer, of course, is that it is a voluntary love slavery. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to understand what I'm saying just now. But any Christian should understand this. We love the Lord Jesus so much for what he has done for us that we gladly say, Lord Jesus, I belong to thee, spirit, soul, and body. And I want thy will in my life. I want to be what is thy will for me. We have a nice picture of this in the 15th chapter of Deuteronomy. The slave who had a chance to go free, but he said, I love my master and his family, and it's been well with me here, and I don't want to go out free. I want to remain in his service. I've known the Lord now for some 53 years, and for the last 35 years, I have been trying to serve him in preaching the word from one end of our country to another, and I want to tell you that he's the best of masters. I'm not serving him for salvation. This would be an insult to his grace. Salvation is a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But once you know the Lord Jesus, you want to do anything you can to please him. I learned this little couplet when I was a boy. I dare not work my soul to save. That work my Lord has done. But I would work like any slave for love to God's dear Son. Now this is the man, Jude, through whom the Holy Spirit gives us this very lovely book. Jude was not a believer during the lifetime of the Lord Jesus. It plainly says in John 7 and verse 5, neither did his brethren believe in him. But his resurrection apparently was the convincing thing that happened. This ought to be the convincing thing for every person. You ought to be convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ is just what he claimed to be because he rose again from the dead. And don't say we don't have enough evidence. A New York corporation lawyer said we have more evidence for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus than that we do for any fact in history. There were at least 500 persons who saw him at one time after his resurrection. And apparently this is when James and Jude were convinced that he was truly the Son of God. Now in the first chapter of Acts, in verse 14, just after the Lord has gone back to heaven, you find all the believers, the apostles, and others gathered together in prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So Jude evidently was there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down. According to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 5, he was a married man. We don't know much more than this from the Bible. A secular history or tradition says that his grandchildren were arrested for being Christians and that they stood firmly for the Lord. And so the work of the Lord went right on in his family. But now notice that he says he is the servant or the slave of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, and he is addressing this to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now all who are truly born again, every saved person is sanctified by God the Father. That means set apart unto God. You never would have come to the Lord. You never would have been saved. You never would have trusted the Lord Jesus if God had not set you apart, if God the Holy Spirit had not dealt with you and made you feel your need of him. And you would never hold on. You would never go on for God as a believer except that you are set apart by God. Of course, we are told to sanctify ourselves in a practical way, day by day, but this is something which God has done. And we are preserved in Jesus Christ, or by Jesus Christ. We are kept by the power of God, Peter tells us. You couldn't keep yourself. Don't ever talk about keeping yourself saved. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't keep yourself. But all of us who are saved are kept by the power of God. And we're waiting for that day when we shall be taken into our inheritance, which Peter also says is being kept for us. And then he also mentions that they are the called of the Lord. Now, it's wonderful to be called of God. We were called to salvation. The Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Have you heard that call, and have you answered to it? And then we are called to be his followers. Every one of the disciples, apostles, had at least these two calls. Called to salvation, and then called to serve. We're also called to suffer with him, another place we read. The Lord has called us to be his own. And this is a calling. We are saints by calling, according to 1 Corinthians 1. And so he speaks of the Lord's people in this wonderful way and shows his love for them when he says, "Beloved." He says this three times in this epistle. He loved the Lord's people because the Lord loved his people. This is a general epistle written to all believers. Our Father, we ask you to bless these few thoughts to us. There may be some who have never yet received our Savior. Help them to see that through the death of our blessed Lord and his resurrection, they too can be the children of God. And help us who believe in him to be indeed the servants, the slaves of our Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.